the urging of friends and through the ministry of Young Life. And I was grateful for that, but I quickly fell into passivity as a person, as a young man, and obviously into my years early in marriage. I was a passive husband.
So Scott and I got married December 16th at Christmas time, and we had the most beautiful wedding that I had dreamed about, and we had a party, and all of our friends and family. It just was great. I was more excited about the wedding than I was really thinking about the marriage. And the first sign that there was a big problem was when we were leaving our reception, and I started crying really hard because I didn't want to leave my friends and family and this fun party and go off with this strange man. And actually, a few months after we were married, I said to Scott, I said, I think I've made a mistake. And he said, you know, I don't believe in divorce, and that's not an option for me. But if you think you want a divorce, then you need to tell your family and friends. And being a person who cares what people think about me, I was like, I'm not going to talk about this with anybody. I guess we just have to live together until one of us dies.
So as you can see, from the beginning, we had major struggles in communication. It was really a big part of it. And it led to constant conflict that we didn't know how to resolve those conflicts. We seemed to get the same fights over and over again. You probably experienced that in your marriage. And we just didn't know how to fix it. And you can probably see, or you'll begin to appreciate how different Michelle and I are, right? I'm an extrovert. I like adventure, risk-taking. I don't like the rules. I want to break every rule if there's one out there, or at least bend the rules. But Michelle's very different. She's a highly responsible rule follower. She's mentioned earlier, people pleaser. And we end up having to kind of look at life differently. If she could go out somewhere on a beach and read a book and not speak to anybody for the entire afternoon, that'd be great for her. I'd like to get up, walk around, meet new people on a beach if I could. So we're just different in that way. And we also, at the same time, we fought in different ways. She's a person that likes to spar and likes to argue and likes to escalate. And I'm one that doesn't like conflict.
But wait. Have I changed in that?
Yes, you have.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Sorry. She was that way.
Okay.
And because of that first introduction of how we handle conflict, we didn't know how to really manage that situation when it occurred. My main focus early in our marriage was my career and thinking that's where life was and pursuing everything I could to advance my job, my career, my opportunities. And in doing that, I became a very passive leader at home, and I really wasn't caring or understanding what was happening in our marriage or even in our family as we had kids.
So I was taking the role of the leader and making the decisions in our family. And I was controlling and given to anger. I was at a point of being so tired of how hard things were between Scott and me when he would come home from his work travel that it's very terrible for me to say today, but I was just thinking, oh, it'd be easier if he didn't come home. I was filled with pride that I knew how to do things the best way, and I was strong and independent, and I did not need him. I did not treat him with respect. I did not build him up or encourage him. I actually felt disdain for him. I was attending Bible study, but I was not spending daily personal time with the Lord or letting his word or his spirit change me. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I looked like I loved the Lord, and I would have told you that I loved the Lord, but I was not acting like I did because I was not kind and loving to my husband, my closest neighbor.
So every couple of years, we were transferred for my job and moved to different cities around the country, East Coast, West Coast. And during that same time, we had 3 kids in 5 years. Every city we went to, we did find a church, and we made that church our home. We even made major decisions, and we prayed through them and tried to think through what God would have us do in those times. We did a really good job of appearing on the outside like we had it all together and we had a strong Christian marriage, but really behind closed doors, we just were not considering the other as better than ourselves. So in 2000, my job transferred us back, or not back, but to Dallas. And it was really through the time here early on in Watermark in 2000 that we ended up meeting the right folks, being in community, studying God's word really for the first time, in my mind, being discipled, that really started to change who we were. The scales from our eyes were starting to fall. Our hearts were become more soft to one another. And while I was here and early on, got to watch the elders and the pastors and the staff really lead their lives well and understanding what a biblical leader really looks like at home. I had men in my community, a really important aspect of this, that really challenged me and poked me in the chest and asked me questions about how Michelle was doing. They might have said, she looks burdened, she looks tired, she may even be sad. And what am I doing to cause that as a husband? And so really, a really important aspect in that first couple of years as I was studying God's word, a verse that just really penetrated my heart was in Mark 4, 18 and 19, where Jesus is talking about the seeds that are sown. And he says, still others like seeds sown among thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And that was so who I was at that point in my life. Because I was ruled by all the desires of money and status and the things that the world could give me and give us. So I decided at that point I was going to let God take over all of what I had in my heart, in my mind, and really let him change me to be the man that I needed to be. And I was going to do that kind of regardless of what the outcome was going to be. I was going to trust him completely.
I remember, I will never forget the day that Scott came to me and he specifically said, you've been carrying things that you should not be carrying, and I'm going to take those things from you, and I'm going to carry them. And it took me a while. I was like, you sure? You sure you got it? You sure? But I began to realize that by choosing to trust Scott, I was ultimately choosing to trust the Lord. And I began to practice saying things to Scott just one time, and then biting my tongue and praying. I was learning a new role as a helper and a voice, which it says in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I knew I had wisdom from the Lord to share, and I would just share it once and bite my tongue and pray. God began to help me loosen my need for control and the desire to change my husband, and instead, God began to change me. I actually began to find peace and freedom in God's order for marriage, with the husband as the head under the Lord. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. I also remember being prompted to pray that the Lord would allow Scott to crave his word, and God specifically answered that prayer. For the last 24 years, I've watched Scott faithfully begin each morning reading God's word, hiding it in his heart, praying and seeking God's face, and I too begin my day studying God's word and praying. We allow his word to inform our decisions and how we spend each day. We allow his word to inform our worldview and our priorities, how we spend our time and our money, and how we treat others.
And so as we progress in that way, we began to really put new tools into our communication, how we resolve conflict. We would say things like, I'm for you, I'm on the same team. You know, I'm not going to go anywhere, you're not going to go anywhere, when the conversations would get pretty heated. And those phrases would disarm us. It was never easy. It took us a long time to figure that out. But in James 1, 4, 1 through 2, a really important verse that we would speak as we were getting into arguments is, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet what you cannot get, what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. We were holding on to the things we really wanted to have for us. That was a go-to verse for us. We were, over time, really amazed and astonished at all that God had done to transform us and really bring unity into our marriage that we had never experienced before. We became passionate about helping other couples because of our experience during times where marriages were breaking down and there needed to be help. We jumped in. We began leading foundation groups, and really for the last 20 years, that's been a really important area for us to serve here at Watermark. And again, walk through curriculums of things that we never had growing up in our early years of marriage that we wish we would have had. And we can help couples to avoid some of the pitfalls and challenges that we experienced so early on in our marriage.
So because of what the Lord has done in our hearts and in our marriage, we truly believe that he can transform any marriage if both people will soften their hearts. God can and will do miracles. He did one with us. Scott is now my best friend. I no longer feel like I have to be married to him. I'm just so thankful I get to be married to him. I no longer live wishing he would be more like me. I actually aspire to be more like him. He's taught me to live more generously. He's helped me grow in hospitality and live with a door wide open mindset. I've grown to admire and respect him more than any man I know. Second to a relationship with the Lord, Scott is truly the best gift God has given me. God always knows me better than I know myself. And he always gives me exactly what I need and more than I can ever imagine or hope for. I still have to bite my tongue often to keep from controlling or nagging. I literally have to close my eyes or look out the window when he's driving so I don't correct him, because I'm definitely the better driver, but I have to keep that to myself. And I'm really not kidding. This is when we get in the most fights still. Community still plays an essential part in our marriage, so that we don't stray to isolation and start believing our own narrative. And godly friends, both wives and husbands, challenge us and point us to Scripture.
So as you can probably tell, these days are way more imprinted with laughter. We forgive quickly and a lot easier. And we serve together so much more than we ever did prior to this. We don't have a perfect marriage. In fact, just coming down here, we had a fight in the car about driving too, of all things. But it gets sweeter every day. And we can say that after 34 years, and the last 25 plus years have been wonderful. We laugh at ourselves and each other because we know the most agreements really are just a matters of opinions or preferences. And most oftentimes, Michelle's opinions and preferences are better than mine, I think. God calls us to forgive each other as we've been forgiven. And so we don't need to wait on that. We can forgive one another. We do our best to say, I know that I hurt you, disappointed you, whatever it might be. Would you forgive me? If we love each other, then this act of asking for forgiveness and giving forgiveness, we've learned and I've learned, is such an essential part of a healthy marriage. And it's so effective when we do that. Why would we not want to love each other with that level of forgiveness? The Lord has shown me the gift that Michelle and marriage has been and needs to be for me. One of our greatest joys in the last 20 years has been serving side by side. Mentioned that. Caring for God's people in and through marriage, whether it's like this tonight, encouraging those and providing hope, or getting our hands dirty when marriages, even young marriages, are not working out the way couples want them to. We're just grateful for that, to be a couple that has ample opportunity to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn those who mourn, as it says in Romans 12:15. His word has given me so many ways and wisdom to become the husband that Michelle needed, that I needed to become as God's man for her, that I didn't know I needed to be. To know the high calling of a husband, which again, I did not know what that was, and marriage, as Paul describes in Ephesians 5:25, that husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the word, washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And I need this every day, and I'm grateful for it. So this next picture you're going to have is kind of where we are today with our family. You'll see our Davis, our son on the, I guess for you would be on this side where that is, the right side. Davis and his wife Lainey, and they've got two baby girls, and we've got on the far end, Hunter and Madison. This is their baby son, Hut Sutton. He's actually back in the room somewhere. And then in the middle, we have Ellie and Mark, who just got married in May. And then Michelle and I are at the end. So,
can you do that? We're having technical difficulties.
There you go.
So I do have to live each day recognizing that left to my own strength and way of thinking, I will not be able to live and love in a way that brings peace and goodness. I have to surrender every day to the Holy Spirit. That is the only thing I am in control of. God's word is true. If we choose to go his way, it will go well with us. And that's, it says so in Deuteronomy 12:28. Be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God.
So we've spent many, many years and times with so many different couples, and every time both the husband and the wife are determined by God's grace to soften their hearts to one another and pursue them minute by minute, day by day, we have seen the Lord show up and change marriages. Like, it's a miracle, the things we get to see. And so it is, and we know it is the primary and most beautiful reflection of God's word, God's love to the world, is how a husband and wife can love and respect one another. So thank you for letting us share our story. We're grateful for it and wish you all a happy and Merry Christmas.